ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, The First Step in God Realization, Text Number 12. Kim pramatasya bahubihi parokshel hayanairiha varam muhurtam viditam ghadate shreyase yataha kim pramatasya bahubhih parokshel hayanairiha varam muhurtam viditam ghadate shreyase yataha kim pramatasya bahubhih parokshel hayanairiha varam muhurtam viditam ghadate shreyase yataha kim pramatasya bahubhih parokshel hayanairiha varam muhurtam viditam ghadate shreyase yataha. Kim, what is pramatasya, of the bewildered, bahubhi, by many, parokshaihi, inexperienced, hayanaihi, years, iha, in this world, varam, better, muhurtam, a moment, viditam, conscious, ghadate, one can try for, shreyase, in the matter of the supreme interest, yataha, by that. Translation: what is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced, by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami instructed Maharaj Parikshit about the importance of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord by every progressive gentleman, in order to encourage the king, who had only 7 remaining days of life. Srila Sukadeva Goswami asserted that there is no use in living hundreds of years without any knowledge of the problems of life. Better to live for a moment with full consciousness of the supreme interest to be fulfilled. The supreme interest of life is eternal, with full knowledge and bliss. Those who are bewildered by the external features of the material world and are engaged in the animal propensities of eat, drink and be merry type of life are simply wasting their lives by the unseen passing away of valuable years. We should know in perfect consciousness that human life is bestowed upon the conditioned soul to achieve spiritual success, and the easiest possible procedure to attain this end is to chant the holy name of the Lord. In the previous verse, we have discussed this point to a certain extent, and we may further be enlightened on the different types of offenses committed under the feet of the holy name. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported the statements in the matters of offenses at the feet of the holy name. From Vishnu Yamala Tantra, Srila Jiva Goswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effects of all sins simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Quoting from the Markandeya Purana, Srila Goswamiji says that one should neither blaspheme the devotees of the Lord nor indulge in hearing others who are engaged in belittling a devotee of the Lord. A devotee should try to restrict the vilifier by cutting out his tongue, and being unable to do so, one should commit suicide rather than hearing the blaspheming of the devotees of the Lord. The conclusion is that one should neither hear nor allow vilification of a devotee of the Lord. As far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name from the names of the demigods, the revealed scriptures disclose, Bhagavad Gita 10:41, that all extraordinarily powerful beings are but part and parcel of the supreme energetic Lord Krishna. Except for the Lord himself, everyone is subordinate. No one is independent of the Lord. Since no one is more powerful than or equal to the energy of the supreme Lord, no one's name can be as powerful as that of the Lord. By chanting the Lord's holy name, one can derive all stipulated energy synchronized from all sources. Therefore, one should not equalize the supreme holy name of the Lord with any other name. Brahma, Shiva, or any other powerful god can never be equal to the supreme Lord Vishnu. The powerful holy name of the Lord can certainly deliver one from sinful effects, but one who desires to utilize this transcendental potency of the holy name of the Lord in one's sinister activities is the most degraded person in the world. Such persons are never excused by the Lord or by any agent of the Lord. One should therefore utilize one's life in glorifying the Lord by all means without any offense. Such activity of life, even for a moment, is never to be compared to a prolonged life of ignorance, like the life of the trees and other living entities who may live for thousands of years without prosecuting spiritual advancement. It's a very powerful purport, very important purport. And we can see it's a continuation from the previous purport, where the 10 offenses are nicely described.
ओम ज्ञान तिम्रांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुर उन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा. So this translation in itself is very powerful, as we can read again. What is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who is the spiritual master of all the great sages, is encouraging Maharaj Parikshit by this verse and the following verses. So as we heard in the first canto, he is Tam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Gurum Munina. He is the guru of all the great sages. And as a great teacher, as a great acharya, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he knows how to encourage his disciple. Because his disciple is in a very precarious condition, having only 7 days to live. So all experienced spiritual masters, they know very well how to encourage his disciples. And this is a very important point even for any leaders in the Krishna consciousness movement. Because the followers need sufficient encouragement. Because there is enough pulling down potency from Maya and the surroundings. And the Maya inflicting our own mind. So an experienced teacher always tries to encourage his disciple. We can see that our spiritual masters, they can encourage us just by some words, just by a look, just by a smile, just by giving some gifts. They are experts in capturing the heart of his disciples and then encouraging them to move towards Krishna, forgetting the illusory material energy. So this is a very significant point in our Krishna consciousness. We need encouragement. Srila Prabhupada always encouraged his disciples by all means. A classic example I can think of here is a statement, a pastime by Madhudvisha Prabhu. He was himself narrating this. He was here, you know, a few years back. He was mentioning, after giving up his sannyas order, he was completely bewildered and he was completely ashamed to meet Srila Prabhupada. So he said, a couple of years he didn't meet Srila Prabhupada, and he had grown his hair just like a hippie, and I think he was in Hawaii. He was just living with his family, with his wife, and he had a kid as well, and he was just living there, and he didn't want to face Srila Prabhupada. So he was somewhat following Krishna consciousness. He didn't want to face Srila Prabhupada. Then, later in his life, in Srila Prabhupada's life, he was sick and he was in Vrindavan. And Madhudvisha Prabhu thought, I should go and meet Srila Prabhupada. And he went all the way to Vrindavan. So as we know, first, before going to Vrindavan, he reached Delhi. So when he reached Delhi, he thought of himself. He was in a train station and he thought of himself. I have this long hairs and I'm looking like a hippie. And I don't want to go and meet Srila Prabhupada in this condition. So he said, he went to a saloon to cut his hair. And the barber, he actually cut his hair and he said, shaved. And he said, okay, keep that shikha. So he had a very beautiful long shikha and a shaven head. And he went to Vrindavan and he met Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada saw Madhudvisha Prabhu, first thing he said, look at Madhudvisha. He has maintained such a beautiful shikha. So Madhudvisha Prabhu was telling, look, I never had a shikha for a couple of years, but now I have the shikha just from Delhi, just a few years, just a few hours behind. And Srila Prabhupada appreciated and encouraged, and then asked Madhudvisha Prabhu, where is your wife? So Madhudvisha Prabhu said, she's there back in USA, and brought her. She Prabhu said, next time when you come, bring your wife. So Srila Prabhupada, even in this condition where it is pretty difficult for one to face the community or to meet the spiritual master, even in this condition, Srila Prabhupada encouraged a disciple. In fact, one time I was hearing a memory of one of the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who due to some reason left the movement for some time. And then other disciples or his godbrothers, they started speaking more about this incident. That is, oh, he left, he has done such sinful activity, he has left, he has gone away. Then Srila Prabhupada was so much angry on his disciples that he said, don't make it even more difficult for such a person to come back to Krishna consciousness. So already he has done some sinful activity, he has left the movement. So to face the devotees back is difficult, but speaking more about this and, you know, emphasizing this more and, you know, zooming it out, don't make it more difficult for such a devotee to come back to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic on this. In fact, another example I was hearing, this devotee, he left and he came back to Krishna consciousness and he met Srila Prabhupada and he was in an assembly of devotees in some other city. And none of these devotees actually knew the devotee already left and returned to Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, when he met this devotee, Srila Prabhupada asked, you are back. I am so happy that you are back. Do you still love Krishna? So this devotee said, yes, I love Krishna. I want to be back with the devotees. Then Srila Prabhupada chastised all the devotees there, who this devotee didn't even know. He said, Why didn't you help this devotee when he was in difficulty? So he was actually encouraging this devotee to come back to Krishna. So this is the duty of a spiritual master. So he encourages. And here we can see Srila Sukadeva Goswami is encouraging his disciple. In fact, in this connection, in this purport, I can tell one more very important point regarding the offenses, in connection to the offenses. In dealing with the devotees. So it is mentioned that according to the consciousness of a devotee or a non-devotee would see others in different ways. So of which the most common we can see is called bhava dashas. They are classified as bhava dashas. Bhava dashas are one. If he sees, if he pick anyone, he will have a good quality and a bad quality. No doubt about it. Something, even if there is a lot of bad qualities, still there will be some good qualities. But bhava dashas are one who will see only bad qualities. There may be some good qualities and there may be some bad qualities, but bhava dashas, they will only see bad qualities. The example is given of that of Daksha. Because Lord Shiva is greatest of the Vaishnava. He has all good qualities. He is considered the best of gentlemen. And he is considered the best householder because he doesn't have a house. He is considered the most envious to the degree that he doesn't have a house. And he is the most renounced. Even in this condition, Daksha was criticizing Lord Shiva. So Daksha is considered the example of bhava dashas because he was criticizing for Shiva going to crematorium and living with Bhutaganas and having smearing the ash all over the body. He was criticizing for this kind of things. So we can see this kind of bhavadasha mentality even within us. We want to see some bad quality. There may be all good qualities, but we want to see the bad quality. So this is one. Second class, at least we have to come to the next class, which is higher, they are called mahantas. Mahantas means, by their discrimination, they can see both good and bad. It's not that they won't see either side, they will see both sides. But they want to pick only the good side. So we have to at least come to that stage where, because we have the ability to discriminate, we see good and bad in a person, but at least we glorify the good aspect and we neglect the bad aspect. Then higher than that is Mahataras. Mahatara means he can only see good. Even if there is bad, he sees only good in others. So this is even higher. And highest is considered Mahatamas. Mahatamas, even though there is a lot of bad qualities in a person and there is some good quality, he just sees the good quality and he actually magnifies that good quality. So that is called Mahatama. This is a very, very, very high consciousness. And Lord Shiva is considered Mahatama because he is ready to go to crematorium. He is ready to associate with Bhutaganas. And he is seeing even a slight quality that, okay, at least they are interested in me. Then he is trying to elevate their consciousness. So there is a very high quality. So we have to understand, okay, there are different kinds of consciousness and we have to improve our consciousness in relation to others. How we see others. So we have to see good in others. That will come further in the purport because the tendency to criticize and to belittle devotees, that is there, that is one of the offenses. So such great devotees like Srila Prabhupada, he saw good in others and he encouraged that. And here Srila Shukadev Goswami encourages Maharaj Parikshit, saying that you have 7 days to live, in fact 7 days and seven nights to live. Whereas even a moment of full consciousness is good enough to perfect one life. That is most valuable than having a prolonged life. So having a prolonged life is of actually no value if it is without Krishna consciousness. Which living entities have a very prolonged life, do you know, in the earthly planet? Trees. You know, redwood trees, around 2000 years in California. Sequoia, I think 3000 years. Huge trees. And it is said, you know, the thickness of the skin is about 3 feet. 3 feet. You know, usually the age of the trees, you know, according to the thickness, you know, the layer they count and they can calculate the age of a tree. So, prolonged life means, you know, trees have prolonged life. No point. What's the use? And it's huge. You know, a truck can go inside. You know, if they make a hole, a couple of trucks can go through the trees. That big, huge trees, prolonged life. But what's the use without Krishna consciousness? So this is the point Shukadeva Goswami is making. And the further verses are narrating the pastime of Ghatanga Maharaj, showing how just by one moment of God consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, he went back to Godhead. Ghatanga Maharaj already was a devotee, and he was fighting for the demigods. And the fight was over and then the demigods asked a very important question. That is, what do you want? What kinds of boon that you want? And unlike anyone else, Ghatanga Maharaj asked a very, very interesting question. And the question was, what is my longevity? How long will I live? So the demigod said, just for a moment. You are going to die. And he had this ability to come straight to the earthly planet and he just meditated upon the lotus feet of Krishna and he went back to Godhead. So see, the one moment of meditation on Krishna went back to Godhead. Yam yam vabismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam me vedikondaya sadadabhava bhavitaha. So whatever we focus on at the time of death, we get that destination. And Ghatanga Maharaj had the devotion and the intelligence to understand, and he took that opportunity to go back to Godhead. And now this purport is continuing on the offenses against the holy name. So we see that it's a continuation from the previous purport. We see that we may be chanting the holy name for years, we may be worshipping the Lord for years, we may have done so much of service, we may have eaten so much of prasadam. We may have, you know, done, you know, heaps and heaps of rounds. If we count, you know, 16 rounds every day, you know, how many rounds have we done? 1 year, 365 into 16, right? It's a big number. So many times we have chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And year after year, we may have given so many lectures. We may have helped so many people to come to Krishna consciousness. Still, we can see the heart has lust. We can see all negative qualities in us. So, why? So we may ask this question. After years of practice, still we are not pure. As it is said, you know, there is no tears flowing from the eyes when we chant the holy name of Krishna. So why? This question is, we can ask, people can ask this question. Bahujanma Gari Hari, Shravanam Girtana, Tabudana Paye, Krishna Padap, Krishna Pade Premadhan. We have chanted for many years, still we haven't achieved Krishna Prem, we haven't achieved love for Krishna. There is no transformation. We could think like that. Why? So, second canto answers this question very nicely. Yadasmasaram hrudayam batetam na grihyamanet harinamadheye na vikariyetha yatha vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harshaha. So, Shivadai Goswami says, indeed, that heart is steel framed. Even upon chanting holy names of Krishna with attention, doesn't show the symptoms of ecstasy, like tears flowing from the eyes and hair standing on the end. So it is said, yes, that heart is steel framed. Tadashmasaram hridayam batayatam. But indeed, that heart is steel framed. And Srila Jiva Goswami concludes in that purport. Why so? Because we commit offenses against the holy name. So here, that's why we can see in the previous purport, which is one of the most important purports in Bhagavatam, because giving the purport to the holy names of Krishna, Edan nirvidyamananam ichchadam hudo bhayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harer namani kirtanam, which gives us the process of Krishna consciousness. So the last verse, the 11th verse, is giving the process, that is harer namani kirtanam, chanting Krishna's names. We can see this is emphasized in Srimad Bhagavatam in many verses. 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam gives, again, emphasizes the chanting of holy names of Krishna. And it tells that is the sadhya, that is the prayojan, that is the ultimate result of whole Krishna consciousness. Evam sapriya nama kirtya jatanirago vidajitra uttei Chaitanya says, this is the conclusion, this is the prayojan of whole Krishna consciousness movement. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrating himself as a sadhaka and achieving the sadhya, achieving the result of chanting. After receiving this Hare Krishna Mahamantra from his spiritual master, Sri Ishwarapuri, he actually goes back and tells in a few days that I am showing all the symptoms. I am just becoming like a madman. What's happening to me? So then we can see this verse. This is the conclusion of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in that sense. The ultimate aim, that is evam sapriya namakirtya. That is priya namakirtya, chanting the dear names of Krishna. And then the conclusion is one becomes mad. It can be a bit shocking that the whole aim of Krishna consciousness is to become mad. Yeah, that's exactly that. Hasachitta uche hasatyado rodhidi raudhigayat unmadavan nirtyadi loga bahya. Unmadavan. Unmad means madness. Unmadavan means just like a madman. Nirtyadi chants and dances and cries without caring for the rest of the world. So this is the conclusion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated achieving this in a few days. He's a Supreme Lord, he was just demonstrating that. And here, further explanation is given on the offenses on the holy name. And before that, again, the 12th canto, the last chapter, the last verse, is speaking about chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sankirtan, that is mentioned in the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that's why this purport is important, because it is continuing upon the offenses against the holy name. And second chapter, in a chapter later, we can see the purport to Tadasmasaram, also the same, a big purport describing the offenses against the holy name, because that is holding us back in achieving what we are supposed to achieve. So here, the first thing mentioned here is Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has quoted many passages from authentic scriptures and has ably supported the statement in the matters of offenses at the feet of the holy name. from Vishnu, Yamalatantra Srila Jugoswami has proven that one can be liberated from the effects of sin simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, we can see this pastime from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Haridas Thakur was invited to the assembly of Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdars, who is the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. So Balaram Acharya, who was the family priest of that family, was very close with Haridas Thakur, and he invited Haridas Thakur to the assembly. And there Haridas Thakur made the statement that just by chanting, a shadow of chanting can give liberation. So Gopal Chakravarti, who was a learned pundit and he was an impersonalist, he said that it's not possible, because the yogis and the gyanis, they had to perform austerities for many lifetimes to get liberation, to get impersonal liberation. So now you are speaking that just by the shadow of chanting, one can achieve liberation. So he said, if it is so, if it is true, I will cut your nose. I'll chop your nose. He told this to Haridas Thakur. So it was a great offense at the feet of Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur replied that, if this is not true, if it doesn't happen, I will cut my own nose. And all the devotees present, Balaramacharya and Hiranya and Govardhan, they were so upset. And they removed Gopal Chakravarti from their assembly. And in a couple of days, he was afflicted by leprosy and his proud nose fell off. That was the end result. So that is the offense. The offense at the lotus feet of great devotees have great effect. And it can ruin one's devotion. It is hatimat, it is like elephant offense, mad elephant offense. So that is, the holy name can easily give liberation. Ultimately it can give love of Godhead, it is Madhurya Naam, it can give love, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kim can give love for Krishna in Vrindavan. So that is the potency. Now Srila Jiva Goswami presents the first offense. One should neither blaspheme the devotees of the Lord nor indulge in hearing others who engage in belittling a devotee of the Lord. So we shouldn't blaspheme the devotees. And what happens to us? We may not blaspheme straight away, but we criticize, which is again blasphemy. It comes spontaneously. It comes naturally. To speak something bad about the devotees, it comes naturally, because we usually don't associate so much with the karmis. Correct? Our primary association is with the devotees. And we have this propensity to find fault. So whose fault we find? We find the fault of the devotees. In fact, in one of the retreats, Bhurijan Prabhu gave us one wristband. If anyone has gone for that retreat, remember, gave us a wristband and asked us, if you criticize any devotee, any kind of bad things you speak, anything about the devotee, you change this wristband from one hand to the next. And when you again do the same, you change from the left hand to the right hand. So, I experienced, you know, I spoke, as a matter of fact, started speaking to someone, and it ended up in speaking something negative about a devotee. So we had this experience. Naturally, it comes spontaneously. So that's the reason it is mentioned very clearly that one shouldn't offend the devotees by words, or to speak about, you know, other things. Thoughts can come, at least we have to restrict. But if thought is continuing, it will come out as words and action. So a pure devotee is considered, he have no propensity to criticize. Nindadi shunya hrida eepsita sankalabhya. So one should serve such a devotee who have no propensity to find fault in others. So this is the platform we have to come up to. So that is, at least mahantas, we have to come to a platform of mahanta, where we may see bad, but we don't focus upon the bad qualities. Because we have discriminatory intelligence, so one may see good and bad in our sadhana path platform, that's fine. But don't focus upon the bad and criticize the devotees, because that can restrict our progress in Krishna consciousness. Second, here is mentioned, a devotee should try to restrict the vilifier by cutting out his tongue, and being unable to do so, one should commit suicide rather than hear the blaspheming of the devotee of the Lord. So, here the statement is pretty heavy, that if someone is criticizing devotees and if you can't stop, then cut his tongue. It is not recommended in this time. So, we don't recommend to go around with a knife and cut everyone's tongue, and also one's own tongue after some time, because one will notice that, okay, I'm also criticizing. So that is not recommended. So if we actually commit offense against devotees, then what can we do? What we should do immediately? We should go and apologize to that devotee. And usually devotees forgive. That is the nature of a devotee. So if we go and if we apologize to a devotee and if he doesn't or she doesn't forgive, then what can we do? Beg. Exactly, that's right. Beg. And if it doesn't happen again? No. If it doesn't happen again, one should repeatedly try. Okay? Then if it doesn't happen, it is mentioned that one can go to the assembly of devotees when all the devotees are there, and go to this devotee and then beg for forgiveness in front of everyone. So these are the different recommendations in terms of how to ask for forgiveness if you have committed any offense. And even after that, trying everything, if a devotee doesn't forgive, then the ultimate option is just chant Hare Krishna. But it is mentioned that devotees are merciful, so even if you prolongly do this, then devotees will forgive. But we have to take to this path if we are committing offense to devotees. So that is very important. And so Srila Jiva Goswami emphasizes this point very clearly. And next point is, as far as distinguishing the Lord's holy name with the names of the demigods, the revealed scriptures disclose that all extraordinary powerful beings are but part and parcel of the supreme energetic Lord Krishna. So one shouldn't separate the names of Krishna with other names of demigods. We may not have such a problem so much, because we may not consider, you know, we may not go for demigods, but there are a lot of people who have trouble with this. Those who are chanting different mantras, still they want to chant that. They were worshipping different demigods, still they want to do so. We can see even devotees. In fact, from one temple, I was hearing, from one temple back in India, they were telling the devotee who is in charge, he would give lecture week after week, you know. One shouldn't worship demigods, shouldn't go to the different temples, you know, focus on Krishna. He would give this message, you know, for a long time. But some of them are so conditioned that they have some traditions. Due to those traditions, they would still go to demigod temples. Still they do the offerings. Still they chant the necessary mantras. They think that is necessary. So this is because they haven't developed faith in the holy names. So we can see in ourselves. Do we have any feeling while chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? We can look upon ourselves. Look into our own heart. Are we just chanting? Or is there any feeling to it? So one has to come to a platform of feeling while chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As it is mentioned, one should feel Krishna while chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It will not happen just automatically. We have to avoid offenses and we have to chant attentively. And then we have to understand about Krishna and we have to engage in Krishna service. Then this development can happen in due course of time. So it is mentioned, the holy name, the Naam Prabhu, becomes merciful if we serve Naam Prabhu sincerely and seriously for a prolonged time. So if there is no effect at this point, that's all right. But if we serve the Naam Prabhu for a prolonged time, then the Naam Prabhu will become merciful and will give and reciprocate. So beginning of that is first attentive chanting, along with understanding the holy name. What is our relation with our holy name? We say it's no different from Krishna. So are we treating the holy name just as we treat the deities, for instance. Srila Prabhupada writes in purport to Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, the seventh canto verse spoken by Srila Prahlad Maharaj. He says, one should understand the holy name and one should understand the glories of the holy name. And he quotes the verses from Bhagavatam, one from Bhagavatam and one by Srila Rupa Goswami. One is Nikhila Shruti Mauli Ratna Mala, Dhivirajita Padabanga Janta, Aymukta Galeru Bhasyamanam Paridastam Harinamasam Shrayami. He says, understand the glory of the holy name, understand even the liberated soul worship the holy name. And they are taking shelter of the holy name. And he says then, Nirvata Tashke Rubagiyamana, Bhavoshada Shrotra Manobhirama, Kautama Shloga Gunani Vada, Puman Virityata Vinapashagnat. He quotes the verse from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter. Quoting that, who will not actually chant the holy name other than a butcher or a killer of a soul? Why? Because this is Manobhirama, it's attractive to the mind. And it is being chanted by person who are completely out from the material clutches. And also it is a medicine for a sadhaka. It's a medicine for a sadhaka. For a practitioner, it's a medicine. So who will not actually take to this holy name other than killer of a sword or a butcher? And Srila Prabhupada says, chant these verses and glorify the holy name. Understand about Krishna. Engage in Krishna service and attentively chant. Then one will progress in chanting. So here, Srila Prabhupada concludes this purport by making a very important statement that the glorification of by all means is required. Glorification of the Lord in all means is required. It's not just by only by chanting, but serving Krishna, spreading Krishna's names, preaching. These are all worshipping the deities. These are all glorifying Krishna. So, one should engage in all different kinds of glorification of the Supreme Lord. And that too, without any offenses. So that is the conclusion. So, if we actually do so, even for a moment, glorify the Lord without any offenses, that is more valuable than a prolonged life. So, there is no point being a tree, a redwood tree, for 2000 years. But glorify Krishna. With the limited time that we have, we don't know how long we have in this life. But whatever time we have, engage our senses in Krishna service, tongue in glorifying the Lord. And in that way we can develop our chanting. We can call out Krishna's names with some feeling. Then if we have some feeling for Krishna while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then we won't sleep while chanting. You know, then we will hear the Krishna's holy name. Initially it is quite mechanical in the sense we are pushing our mind to listen and the mind goes away from the holy name. Again we do push the mind to hear the holy name. So there is an element of mechanical chanting involved. But if there is feeling when the heart is involved in chanting the holy names, then listening becomes natural and also the wandering naturally reduces. So we have to at least come to this stage in chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then we can make further progress because there is no limit in progressing chanting. We can do always progressive chanting. There is no limit to it. So I stop here and see if there are any questions, comments. Yes, Prabhu. How to deal with that particular situation or in the problem in general? If we happen to hear and if it is continuing and in your situation where you have to be there, or if he is not speaking to you, you can hear something else. You can hear Kirtan or something like that. But in a situation where you cannot avoid, you have to hear, we cannot correct such a devotee. If he's senior to us, we cannot correct. It's not appropriate. You know, it can be difficult to correct at certain stage. You can't. So you happen to hear, but at the same time, you actually pointed out the right point. That is, his or her relation to that particular devotee or correction or whatever he is doing or in the mood in which he is speaking, it could be different. Because as devotees, if, say for instance, if there is a leader who is trying to help people, he may see fault. He may speak about fault in others to correct. So if we hear, they may make such kind of comments, and if we hear and if we see that, okay, we are ready to judge a person like that, then our consciousness is completely affected. Rather, we had, as you mentioned, we understand it in perspective. That is, he has a particular relation and he's making a statement in that relation, and we have nothing to do with that.
It does affect, of course, I agree.
We can pray to Krishna for help. It does affect. We can only pray and chant, we can't do much. If he had to be there, if he happened to hear. Because sometimes we happen to hear. It's not that we want to hear, but we happen to hear. And even by the time we leave the place itself, we hear blasphemy. And we may not be in the right position to correct. We can only chant and we can pray to Krishna. And Krishna will forgive for such kind of things. It will be a greater offense in that point, you know. A devotee, we are cutting the tongue of a devotee if we hear a criticism. The same thing we will also do after some time. Any further questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Grand Sachin Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you. 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 Thank you.